AM, and I call this meeting of the Audit, Compliance, and Title IX Committee to order. Catherine, can you please take roll?
Carvalho?
Here.
Vice Chair Boylan?
Aye.
Regent Batista?
Here.
Regent Brooks?
Here.
And Regent Brown?
Present.
You have a quorum.
Thank you very much. I'll move on to public comment. For those who would like to call in and offer public comment, please dial 669-444-9171 and enter meeting ID 992-8475-3091 and passcode 555-555. Is there any public comment at GBC?
No public comment, GBC.
Thank you very much. Any public comment in the system office in Reno?
There's none in Reno.
Thank you. Any public comment here in Las Vegas? Seeing none, SES, is there any public comment on the phone?
No callers at this time, Madam Chair.
Thank you very much. I will close out public comment and move on to number two, consent items. Is there any comment or a motion for consent items?
So moved.
Thank you. I have a motion from Regent Boylan. Is Vice Chair Boylan. Is there a second?
Second, Regent Brown.
Thank you. Second from Regent Brown. Any other discussion? I just want to say I did go to the dental school and meet with Dean Gerstenberger and with Dr. Nels, and I just want to say thank you for the very warm welcome, and I see that there's a lot of good things happening there. So I just wanted to put that on the record that I appreciate all the work that has been done at the dental school and you're continuing to do. So thank you. Okay, with that, I'll call for the vote. All those in favor, please say aye.
Uh-huh.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carries. Item number three, Audit, Compliance, and Title IX Committee Orientation. So for this item, I'll go to Chief Internal Auditor Lauren Tripp.
Thank you, Chair Carvalho. For the record, Lauren Tripp, Chief Internal Auditor. First, I just want to say a quick welcome to the new committee members and welcome back to those who have been serving on the committee. With a new committee chair, a few new committee members, we thought it might be helpful to take a few minutes to provide a brief overview and orientation on the committee. So included in the materials is a summary page, which has the bylaws, summaries of the duties of the committees. This is from the Board of Regents Handbook, Title I, Article 6, Section 3. So before we get started with the bylaws, I just want to remind the committee of the dynamics. We have kind of a unique setup with the Internal Audit Department where we have a dual reporting relationship where functionally I report to the chair of the committee and then administratively I report to the NGCFO. For the functional reporting line, it's a very important distinction because this is what maintains our independence within the department. It allows us to perform independent assessments, advising engagements without bias, helping to carry out the main duties of the committee. So in talking about those duties, I'm not going to read them verbatim, and I know we're running a bit behind here, just going to highlight a few for discussion. So the first bullet relates to the committee's review and evaluation of reports, follow-up reports, things of that nature. So typically these meetings will have some audit reports presented. Most of the time these are deliverables from internal audits. These are presented with recommendations and the institution's action plans already embedded in the report to make it easier for discussion. This is also important because it shows a collaborative approach between the audit team working with management trying to find solutions. The second bullet relates to the committee's duty to recommend a CPA firm to audit the financials of ENCHI and to review and evaluate reports presented by that independent firm. So the last time the auditors were selected was back in February 2024 through an RFP process. The reports will include a financial statement audit, reviewing things such as student financial aid, along with other major programs. The financial statements themselves, those are the responsibility of management. The external auditors present their opinion and other required communications, which includes a report on any deficiencies noted. These have typically been presented during the December meeting, but sometimes it can run over into the March meeting based on if the compliance supplement is finalized later, the compliance supplement. So that's this massive annual guide from the Office of Management and Budget that helps independent auditors, amongst others, understand the rules and testing procedures that are needed to complete the single audit. Another item I wanted to briefly know, it's the fifth bullet on the memo. It talks about the correction of deficiencies found within our reports, and that will be in item number 6 today. That's where that's accomplished. This is where we monitor any recommendations that have yet to be fixed. And as you'll see a little later today, we present our audit plan for the committee's approval. We realize that risks don't just wait for our audit plan to show up, so we try to build in flexibility to remain agile and accommodate projects as they come up. We also emphasize training, professional development, and try to keep our competencies current, but we increasingly look towards collaboration where we can, because this helps us leverage skill sets and competencies in areas which help us efficiently use our limited resources, but ultimately lead to a more informed decision. And that's, thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Tripp. Are there any questions or discussion regarding the orientation for this committee? Seeing none, I'll move on to item number 4, hosting for GBC. And this is for possible action, and I'll have Chief Internal Auditor Lauren Tripp introduce it. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair Carvalho. For the record, Chief Internal Auditor Lauren Tripp. Before jumping into the audit reports, you'll see an audit summary document that's included with the documents today. It has a table of the audits being presented. This also includes a follow-up audit that was approved in during consent number 2. As always, just want to say a quick thank you to the institutions with audits being presented today. I know it's not ever fun being audited. For the first report, the Board of Regents Handbook, Title 4, Chapter 10, Section 25, requires that internal audit test host expenditures annually. So the way that we satisfy this is we put at least one host audit on our plan annually. The results and recommendations have some findings consistent with the last few host audits we've presented, which is we identified opportunities to improve processes surrounding expense categorization and table purchases. We additionally noted some updates that need to be made to their internal host policies and procedures to better align with the Board of Regents and NCHI policies, along with recommendations related to just some grants workday setup and some clarification. Thank you.
Thank you. And you'll see in the report that GBC does have responses to the findings. I don't know if President Dinelli, if there's anything you'd like to add to this report? No? Okay. So I will open it up for a discussion or a call for a motion. Yes. Regent Brown.
Okay. I would motion to approve the report of a GBC hosting audit for the period of July 1, 2024 through September 30th, 2025.
Thank you for that motion, Regent Brown. Is there a second?
I'll second that.
Thank you, Regent Batista. So a motion from Regent Brown and a second from Regent Batista. Any other discussion? I'll call for the vote. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? That motion carries. Thank
aye.
You. Thank you. Item number 5, single audit follow-up for NCHI. Chief Internal Auditor Lauren Tripp.
Thank you, Chair Carvalho. For the record, Lauren Tripp, Chief Internal Auditor. So this next report is for the NCHI single audit follow-up for the year ended June 30th, 2025. So at prior committee meetings, there was a desire for additional follow-up related to the significant deficiencies noted in that report, especially due to the continued volume of the findings. It was requested that an additional review be performed to ensure institutions were able to implement what was in their initial responses. Sometimes also the institutions, once they get in there, they realize maybe their initial response doesn't work quite the way they thought it would, so they have created a different process that's better, so updating that response if necessary. So this report is structured differently than our other reports. For this item, you'll see there's two attachments. The first contains the audit findings from the single audit, and the second attachment includes the initial institution response followed by our follow-up responses. What the auditor did was she reached out to each responsible party for each of the findings to validate their initial response and completion status, or if there are any changes or updates that needed to be made. We noted corrective action had been implemented for the findings or actively in progress. And sometimes the ones that do take a little bit longer are if they decide to implement a new process, say with technology or within Workday, that has to go through a testing process before it goes into production, or policy changes or creating a policy takes a little bit longer because that also has usually a significant routing process for approval through the institute. The individuals we talked with throughout this process understand the importance of these findings. They've been working hard to correct them. I think we can all agree we're all working towards the goal of bringing the number of findings down for the next audit. And that audit is actually currently underway. Thank you.
Thank you, Chief Internal Auditor Tripp. Are there any questions regarding this? I'm not hearing any from the committee. I am trying to find what it is that I was looking for, and I can't seem to find it. There was something that we were discussing regarding some questions regarding follow-up from, I believe, the system office. Is that... Next item. Okay, then never mind. Okay, sorry about that. Okay, all right. So I will call for a vote on the single audit follow-up for ENCHI. Is there a motion?
A motion to approve the report and institutional response to the ENCHI single audit follow-up.
Thank you. Regent Brown, and I hear a second from Vice Chair Boylan, correct?
Yes, ma'am.
Thank you. Okay, any other discussion? All those in favor, please say aye.
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 Thank you. All those opposed, that motion carries. Thank you. I'll move on to item number 6, Internal Audit Department Work Plan and Status Report for ENCHI. Chief Internal Auditor Lauren Tripp.
Thank you, Chair Carvalho. Lauren Tripp, Chief Internal Auditor. So for this item, over time, we have shifted from presenting the audit work plan from a yearly basis to biannually. This allows more flexibility since, as we know, priorities and risks can change quite rapidly, and this better aligns with us to be more agile. It also gives the committee a more realistic picture on what we're currently working on, what we plan to work on, and what we have worked on and are still monitoring. So I would say the question I get asked the most about the work plan is, how do you determine what audits end up on there? And there's a few, as you know, there's potentially endless areas we can audit, but limited resources. So first we have what we call our risk assessment matrix. I'm not going to get too into the weeds with that, but it lists all potential areas that we could audit at all the institutions. So it's the audit universe. From this listing, we assign a risk ranking to each risk category. So think categories such as financial risk, which could be revenues and expenses. So if an area has higher revenues, expenses are going to have a higher ranking. Our regulatory risk, regulations like HIPAA, federal regulations, if those apply to that department, is going to have a higher ranking. So each of these categories will be assigned a value 1 through 5. There's some weighted calculations that come into play. So because this plan is based on risk, there are quite a few audits that we haven't done in a few years because they're not rising to the top. We also solicit input from business officers and other stakeholders because the last thing we want to do is an audit that they felt like was a waste of time, and why did we audit that? There are also some audits per policy, such as performing annual host audits, like I mentioned earlier. And another one is change in leadership audits that are performed for president or above. We also take into consideration hotline submissions coming in. Are we getting a lot of reports in a certain area that might indicate a larger concern? Or also, is it even something we can audit? We also take into consideration things such as the external audits and the findings that resulted from these to incorporate into our work plan. As you'll note, there's a couple sponsored programs audits on our work plan. We also keep our ears open for other concerns. This could include requests during other meetings or things going on across the country. We have a membership to this organization called ACUA, Association of College and University Auditors, and they have a pretty active forum. So if something is going on with one, there's probably things going on with a few. There are quite a variety of different factors we consider when determining our work plan. There are often important unforeseen projects that come up throughout the year, so we have to be flexible if something comes up that we need to turn our attention to. A huge part of what we strive to do is add value and provide services beyond that of just the traditional audits. A couple other items you'll see in the audit plan. There are unannounced audits. These are audits we have scheduled time for, but the institution will not be made aware of what that audit is until we actually open that audit. Another item on there is the external audit direct assistance. This is where a member of the team is embedded with our external auditors to complete a student financial aid section or whatever section is assigned to receive a discount on our bill. And I'll very quickly go over some highlights and themes. Awareness, we continue to look for opportunities to reduce or eliminate gaps and controls and remain aware of hot topics and similar organizations. We also implemented a post-audit survey last year that we send out after the completion of the audit to help us receive feedback on areas that we could improve on within the department. Collaboration with other groups remains crucial, so this includes groups like legal, HR, compliance, other auditors. We strive to continue creating great working relationships with them. Incident management system, also referred to as a hotline. Our role continues to include facilitation of cases to proper subject matter experts and respond to submissions in a timely manner. Technology, ongoing discussions with stakeholders related to cybersecurity, AI, GLBA, other areas where we could provide advisory services. We're currently developing an IT risk assessment to help prioritize risk areas for future audit. This is still a work in progress. And resources, this continues to be a priority. We do pretty good with cross-pollination where the Reno auditors help with some of the Vegas audits, and I do feel like our team does a great job about aligning the audits with what the individual auditor specializes in. Page 6 includes a status on current projects within the department along with some departmental statistics. And then on page 8, you'll see some of the charts and graphs tracking our open findings over a 5-year period. There's a slight downward tick from the last report. 65% of the findings fall in the current year category. Majority of the open findings are from UNLV, but this is largely due to timing. So what happens is they had the school dental medicine report was in consent, so those items that they have closed out, they're not reflected within that graph. They also had quite a few audits go at one time, so that's why that number's a little bit spiked. The next group with the highest amount of findings involves NC or SA. These ones are the older findings, mostly involving policy and procedure updates. Formally tracking and monitoring open exceptions is a useful metric. It helps identify from an internal audit perspective how many open issues do we have, how many past due issues do we have. Beyond just general accountability, it's typically a strong indicator of management's buy-in and willingness to accept our recommendations as we continue to partner with them. And with that, that concludes my remarks, and happy to take any questions.
Thank you, Ms. Tripp. I'll open it up to any questions or comments from those on the committee. Regent Brown.
Thank you, Regent Brown, for the record. Thank you so much for sharing this. Obviously, you and your team are doing quite a bit. I really appreciate this slide, page 5, to kind of see like the breakdown of hours. I think it's really helpful. And I appreciate sharing that there's so many different audits happening at the same time. I'm curious, can you explain to the committee, how do you and your team prioritize which audits need to take place?
That's a good question. Lauren Tripp, Chief Internal Auditor. So I don't want to give a typical auditor answer of it depends, but...
Makes sense.
Yeah, it's if there's something that I'm being told by, say, my supervisors that, hey, we need to take this as a priority, like, that will move to the front. If there's something that it's, like, pretty urgent, like, this needs to be done right now because of a timing thing, then all hands on deck. So it's kind of just, I hate to say it depends, but yeah, it's coming from different kind of, it depends on the situation, I would say. But yeah, if I'm told to prioritize something, then I move it to the front.
Yeah. Thank you, Regent Brown, for the record. And that is a totally acceptable answer. I mean, this is not one size fits all. There's obviously different external circumstances, internal, you know, whether it's the board itself, the chair. And so I was just curious because when I look at this, it's like unannounced. And I'm assuming this is because there's like a list of things that you would normally audit just for good housekeeping. And then you guys kind of pick an area, and it's not announced because you want it to be authentic and get the real information.
Yeah, so some of those are requests that they don't want the heads up, I guess, because it gives more of a real in time. Like when I used to do surprise cash counts, they're not expecting it, and you show up, and they're like, oh, I knew this was coming or whatever, but mm-hmm. I'm not saying everybody for audits like preps their documents ahead of time, but it gives more of a real, this is the daily, how they operate when you do some unannounced audits.
Regent Brown, for the record, the immediate analogy that came to mind is that you clean for the house cleaner? Tidy up before, yeah. So I get it. And we want to actually get a real snapshot of what it's like, because that's how we're going to actually make sure that all of our institutions and the system and everything are being run effectively. Okay. Thank you for that clarification.
Thank you. Any other discussion? Yes, Vice Chair Boylan.
Thank you, Chair. Appreciate it. Since we're on that topic right there, how do you go about doing an audit if a regent requests an audit of somebody or something? Does it have to come in as a regent request? Does the regent have to go through the chair or through who? Or talk to the chief financial officer? How does that work? Let's say I want to do an audit on somebody's expenses. How does that happen? And how do you look at it? Is it an emergency? Is it something you just don't do? I got you, huh? All right. What about you, Chief Financial Officer?
My button wasn't working. I was trying.
You're trying, I know.
I was trying to push the button. It wasn't buttoning.
I see.
Yeah, okay. Lauren Tripp, Chief Internal Auditor. When you said audit a person, I won't audit a person. But so I do believe there, if it's a specific audit that needs to go on a plan, there's something within the charter about the request going through, I believe, the chair. But I'd have to look at the charter, which I should know by heart, but I don't. I'm sorry. But
don't
I do
worry.
Believe there's a process for like an official audit.
So when you do find that, would you send that to me, please?
Yeah, sure.
I appreciate
it. I could totally
do that.
Yeah.
Right. Thank you, ma'am. Thank you, Chair.
Chair, do you mind?
Yes.
I actually would love to add on to what Regent Boylan is getting at here, and I think the power of a regent request is that minus a full audit, which I think is, you know, get in there, be forensic, you know, tip over every rock and really do a deep dive, that we can ask for things that people can pull from Workday, which don't take a full audit team to do. You know, that's why we have our CFO and the rest of the folks. So I would say ask for the things, but maybe not audit, maybe not start with audit. And then once you look at stuff, then it would, I think, escalate. I think I'm correct in how that would work, is like we would gather information and then it can escalate from there. That's how I would, yeah. But ask for that information.
That's correct.
Thank you.
Is that correct? Sorry.
Is she correct about that? Is that the way? Yeah. Mr. Liza?
I'm going to defer to Lauren. I have not, okay. in my time here at this point, I have not come across that situation, so I'll rely on Lauren. But we'll definitely follow up with the audit charter and what's identified in there and what that process looks like.
Outstanding.
Yeah, and I think that would be the, just because I'm not trying to play the card of the team so small, but like it would probably be the best way to go about that process first. But I will be sure to send you the part in the charter with it, like the official audit request.
You are too kind. Thank you so much.
And Jimmy Martinez, for the record, I'll just point out, Title IV, Chapter 9, Section 5 specifically governs audit requests. So if you look there, it'll set everything out. So again, I'll give it to you.
Thank you. It sounds like we'll get some good information. Thank you for the question. I do have something that I'd like to call to our attention on this report. So on page 9, it shows, let me get to it, institutional findings and basically their aging, for lack of a better word. And for our system office, we have some findings that are more than 3 years old. So I know some of these, you know, are maybe not at the top of our list, like social media policy and things like that. But I would ask our system office team here to focus on hopefully working through these so that we can get this off this list in the next 6 months to a year. Of course, yeah, yes.
Thank you, Chair Carvalho. For the record, Brody Leiser, CFO with the system office. I appreciate you asking about those, and you're right. We've got 5 open findings that I think date back to 2022. In your meeting packet, these began on page, under this reference material, page 36 of 60, starts the 5 items. I do want to give a brief update about where we're at on these. The first 3 items, which fall on pages 36, 37, and 38, relating to social media policies and procedures, I did connect with our director, human resources, and in touch base with our legal staff today. In talking with our director of human resources, we anticipate that we will have these completed, these open items completed by the next time the audit committee meets. And so that is our hope, to get these knocked off the list. The last 2 items, which are on pages 39 and 40, relate to a change in leadership audit. And number 4 on page 39 deals with long-term leases. We will have resolution to this, presenting a change in policy. We're anticipating this one to be done by the end of the third quarter, 2026. So that's September, that's next month. So we, again, hopefully by the time that this committee meets again, we can have this one off the list. The 5th one, from my understanding, is this one's going to take a little bit more work. And as I've excuse me, as I've come on board, I appreciate Lauren bringing me up to speed on these things. This is an area where I will need to continue to work with our legal staff on this particular recommendation, which has to do with the extensions of vendor contracts. And I believe that there's some clarification or consideration to how we address this in terms of contracts that go out to RFP versus those that can be awarded without going to RFP if they're under the threshold, and how we look at this or look at those a little bit differently. We also want to be cognizant of purchasing requirements. And so follow-up on this will take some continued discussions collectively with our institutions and with the purchasing divisions of those institutions. And so this one, this one will take a little bit more time. I don't think we'll have this one done by the time that the next audit committee meets, but I will commit to the committee that from myself, like this will be a priority. We want to get these addressed. We want to take the steps necessary to address the audit findings, and certainly want to get these aging open exceptions off the list. So you have that commitment from me.
Thank you, Mr. Leiser. I appreciate that, and I think it's important to hear your commitment to that. You know, the system administration office is our top leadership, and we want to present a good, you know, be a good role model for our institutions too. So I appreciate your update on that, and I just like to encourage all of the institutions that are on this list to work towards resolution of their findings so that we can get that down. And I know some of them are this current year and take some time to do that. But as long as we are working through those, that's great. All right. So this is for possible action. So I will entertain a motion or any other discussion.
I'd like to make a motion to hold, please. Yes.
This is just to accept this report, correct? Yes, item number 6. Okay, sure.
Doing it wrong in my thing.
Oh.
I'd like a motion to approve the internal audit work plan for the 6-month period ending July 31st, 2026.
And I'll second that.
Thank you. So I have a motion from Regent Brown and a second from Regent Batista. It's all good. I'll call for the vote.
Before the vote, Chair, I believe the dates are, there's two work plans. There's one ending December 31st, 2026, and then there's a second one, status report, ending June 30th, 2026.
You are correct.
Internal,
Thank you.
Okay, I'll amend my motion to approve the internal audit work plan for the 6-month period ending December 31st, 2026, and the internal audit department status report for the 6-month period ending June 30th, 2026.
Thank you. And Regent Batista?
No. Also do that.
Thank you very much. All right, so I'll call for the vote. All those in favor, please say aye.
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 Thank you. That sounds unanimous. So I will move on to item number 7, internal audit compliance and or Title IX updates from NCHE. Chief Internal Auditor Lauren Tripp.
Thank you, Chair Carvalho. Lauren Tripp, Chief Internal Auditor. This section is a standing item to be able to provide some departmental updates, just have a placeholder for any additional discussion. In the past, this has been used as a platform to update the committee on financial aid-related findings, risk assessment methodologies, updates, other board-related initiatives. Just a couple items. First, we're getting close to wrapping up our internal quality review for our external quality assurance review. So this includes a self-assessment of ourselves that then will be reviewed by an external group. Just a little more prep and compiling the files, and we should be good to go. Additionally, our part in the external audit assistance, that should be wrapping up hopefully within the next couple months, but also pending the compliance supplement being finalized. Something else I just want to put on the committee's radar, per IIA standard 6.2, internal audit charter, a leading practice is to review the internal audit charter periodically. The internal audit charter contains items such as the purpose of audit, our commitment to the global internal audit standards, mandate, scope, and types of services to provide us, so committee responsibilities, expectations of management, chief internal auditor duties, organizational position, reporting relationships, those types of things. The charter was last approved in 2024, so there's a couple items that could be potential updates to be considered. I just wanted to give the committee a heads up that item would be presented at a future meeting. It still has to go through quite a few reviews before it gets to that point, but I just wanted to put it on everybody's radar. And there'll probably be a couple options presented. Just bringing it up now, basically. And that's all I have for this meeting. Thank you.
Thank you. We look forward to that update. Any other discussion? This is for information only. All right. Hearing none, I will move on to new business. Are there any suggested items for new business for consideration at a future meeting? I'm hearing none, so I will move on to item number 9, public comment. Is there any public comment at GBC? Hearing none, I'll move on to the system office in Reno.
There's none in Reno.
Thank you. Is there any public comment here in Las Vegas? Seeing none, I will move to SCS. Is there any public comment on the phone?
No callers at this time, Madam Chair.
Thank you very much. So at this time, I will adjourn the meeting at 4:27. Thank you.